how important it is. A lot of things the world is seeking for right now. A lot of things they're desiring. A lot of things they're wanting. But the only thing that fulfills our true destiny is receiving the gift of Jesus. Receiving this gift of grace into our lives that changed our destiny forever. And this gift of grace, as we know, if we've been taught anything at all, is not a gift that we earned. It's not a gift that we can even keep. It's a gift that Jesus gave us. And I'm thankful for that gift of grace that changed our world forever. We talk a lot about works and about, you know, we see people trying to get their way in through certain avenues. And it all goes back to this. As a minister, I get frustrated sometimes with all the different teachings and doctrines that go so far away from the gift of Jesus. The message is really simple and clear-cut and clean. And through the years, we've added so much to it. And we see the damage that that's took on some people's lives because their focus gets on a man or a movement. Even the focus gets on the supernatural gifts, which we believe in as Christians. We've got to be careful the supernatural gifts doesn't become the focus point. The focus point is Jesus, the gift of Jesus, the grace of Jesus, the cross of Jesus. That's the focal point we all should be concentrating on, because everything starts there and everything ends there, honestly. Other things come out of that. Other gifts come out of that, of course. But how far we've been removed from the teaching of true Christianity, which is Jesus Christ alone. Our denomination doesn't save us. The next movement doesn't save us. We can be baptized at 2 years old. That doesn't save us. What saves us is faith in Christ alone. Giving our heart and surrendering our lives and accepting that blood that we've sung about this morning. That blood, that is our victory. The blood of Jesus is our victory. And the greatest gift that ever came to humanity was Jesus. The greatest gift we ever could have was Jesus. This Son of God, being born of a virgin, coming upon the earth, dwelling among men, sinless he was, yet he took our sin that we could stand righteous before him. That's the greatest gift that mankind has ever saw. Forget all the inventions and all the technology and the automobile and electricity. All those are great things of this life. But the greatest gift ever given to this world happened 2,000 years ago, wrapped up in a manger, came from a virgin birth, the seed of God, the face of God upon the earth forever. That changed mankind. It divided time, church, from B.C. to A.D. He divided time. That's how important that it was. The greatest event that ever happened. So we're going to talk about this gift of Jesus. We're going to be in St. John chapter 1 to start off with, beginning with verse 1. And I have the Amplified scriptures up here on the screen. It says, in the beginning, before all time, was the Word. See, that's beyond our thinking. The Word's always been. Where to start from, it's always been. There had to be a beginning. That was a beginning. But it doesn't make sense because we're not in the same time as we are here in the earth. It's always been the Word, Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God himself. It was present originally with God. All things were made. All things were made and came into existence through him. And without him was not even one thing made that came into being. In him, here's the 4 and 5 I want to concentrate on. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, for the darkness has never overpowered, put it out, or absorbed it, or appropriated it, and is unreceptive to it. Jesus is the light that shined into this world. And the darkness of sin, the darkness of guilt, the darkness of shame, the darkness of the Satan himself could not stop or alter or change or overpower the light that came into the world. That light came regardless of what the devil tried to do. He couldn't stop the light from coming. Sin couldn't stop it. The light was bigger and greater than the darkness that covered the hearts of man. See, the heart's what's got to be changed in man, Not our mind. It's our heart has to be changed. Because when we are spiritually reborn, it's right here. That's why when people are truly saved, they live different. Not because they think differently, because they are different. Because their heart's been changed. Our heart is dark without Christ. There is no light there. We're like Neptune out there in space. The sun hardly ever touches it. I mean, it can't reach it. We're so far away. But then when the light shines and we receive that light of Jesus, this gift, then our dark place is illuminated with His love and revelation and with His power and His grace. And all of a sudden, our heart is changed from being dark and cold to being full of light and love. He was the light, and the life was in Him, and darkness couldn't stop it, and sin couldn't stop it, and judgment couldn't stop it, and the enemy couldn't stop it. Light came, and light is still coming, and the light that comes to every individual, the devil can't stop that light of Jesus from shining in their hearts, for the Holy Spirit draws men unto Himself, and that light is more powerful than your past, your shame, your guilt, anything you're dealing with. It's more powerful because He was the light that shined. It goes on to say in verse 12, I've got verse 12 up there on the screen. Yeah. But as many did receive and welcome Him, He gave the authority, the power, the privilege, and the right to become the children of God, those who believe on His name. This gift of Jesus allowed me to become part of His family. It allowed me to come with Him. I'm part of God's family. That's nothing more special than that. That I'm in the fold of God. That I'm in that covering. That I'm under the shadow of the Almighty. That I'm abiding in His house forever. I'm covered by Him. I've got His name. I bear His name. And I reap the fruit and benefits of being part of the family. I'm in the family of God. Because of this gift of Jesus, I have the right and the privilege through the blood to become His child. The greatest gift ever was the gift of Jesus. Because when we're off this earth, church, nothing matters here. What matters is the next step. What matters is who we belong to. And if I'm part of the family of God, I'm ushered on in to that extended family that's already with Him in the other place, in the other realm. There's an authority that I have to become that child of God. The Bible says that we have been adopted into the family through the blood. We've been adopted. You know, when you're legally adopted, you have all rights of the father, all rights of the family. You have all rights. You're just like a son. We've been adopted into the family through the blood because of the gift of Jesus that came to all humanity. This gift, church, came out of the true love that God has for us. Through our sin, I love the part of that song, Oh, the Blood, where it says, even in my sin, His blood was shed for me. That in my sin, in my weakness, God knew I would continually make mistakes, continually not be able to meet His requirement. And until the world gets a hold of this revelation, that it's only through the sacrifice of Christ on the cross that we have salvation and redemption, we will continue to live a miserable life trying to work our way. And here's the thing that I hate among Christian folks, is the arrogance and the pride that many have because of their works. Arrogant. Walk around like they've done something because, you know, they're just so holy. Oh my God. That's almost blasphemy against the Lord. To think that we are holy within ourselves. We are an unholy, degenerated, unrepentive people by nature until the light shined and shined in our hearts and called us by name and says, Joe Brown, I want you. God, you want me? Yes. God, here I am. It's a privilege to be called by the voice of God. It's a privilege for the hand of God to pass your way and pull you out of that darkness and shine His light upon your life. It's the greatest gift ever. It's the gift of Jesus into our lives. It's a wonderful privilege. And there's too much arrogance among religious people because they hide behind their works. They hide behind what they do. They hide behind even the gifts of spirit because they got gifts of spirit. You wouldn't have any gift of spirit if you didn't have the first gift of Christ. Period. Because you can't have the gifts apart from Him. You first must be born again. Then you begin to walk in all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I see such a pride and arrogance with people thinking that, man, because I do all these things, man, I'm pretty good. I'm all right. It's only by the grace of the Lord that we will see Him face to face. Remember what Jesus said? He said, you know, even the elect would be lost if it were possible. If it were possible. Thank God it's not possible for the elect to be lost, not the elect of God. But the temptation and the struggle is so strong, and it attacks so much. What he's saying is, if it wasn't for my grace, you'd be lost. If it wasn't for my hand upon you, you'd be gone. Don't think because, you know, you don't, and we're great about pointing at each other's faults and weaknesses and not recognizing our own. We have so many of our own weaknesses. And when our heart is changed, you know what we'll see? We'll see nobody different than anybody. We'll see them that they need the grace of Jesus, no matter what they're going through. I know it doesn't make sense to see people's lifestyles. It's easy to jump on that bandwagon and say, you know what, they shouldn't be doing that, shouldn't be doing that, shouldn't be doing that, shouldn't be doing that. Let's look in the mirror and see what we should not be doing in our lives. We shouldn't be talking about it, should we? We should be praying about it. We shouldn't be gossiping about it. We should be praying about it. We sure shouldn't be pointing any fingers. We should be helping somebody with it. See, the love of Jesus should be extended through us. We are the body of Christ. We are many members with many different functions. And we should be the ones reaching out. For once the light comes to us, you know what? It's our responsibility to shine that light. Think about if you're stuck in a cave somewhere. Somehow you just got in a cave and, you know, you got way into it and it crumbled and you're stuck in a cave. And only one person had a flashlight. And there's 6-7 of you in a cave. Wouldn't each of you be following that one person with the flashlight? They would be shining the way. Each of you would be finding. You'd want to be where the light was to see how to get out. If we have the light of Jesus, it's our job to shine the light. Not shine the judgment. Not shine the hate. Not shine all the, you need to do this. Here's where we've gotten to. And this is what's frustrating me. Church, all we have to do is tell people about Jesus and he will do the rest. His spirit will convict. His spirit will draw. His spirit will teach. His spirit will heal. His spirit will deliver. His spirit will save. Get out of the way and let the Holy Spirit be the way. That's what our call is as Christians. We are supposed to be a light. And so many times, people feel worse around us than they did before they came to us. They come in with need. I need something. Can you help me? And then we just throw this dark shadow on them. And they leave like, my God. Like I've been worse than I came. I came for help. And you just kicked me back to hell. None of us, aren't you glad, are going to be standing at the throne. And when Joe sees the Lord, it won't be Don saying, hey, Joe Brown, I remember you sat on the second row at Living Word. Do I get in, Mr. Don? I don't know. Because you know what? You didn't shake my hand one Sunday. I didn't appreciate it. So it's my time, the down button, buddy. Or you know what? I remember so-and-so when you did that. Or I remember I caught you doing that. Or I heard you saying that. And we are not to stand in judgment. We are to stand in light. I'm not saying we don't point something out if someone's wrong. But still we do that with the right way. And we do it with love. And we go to them. And we talk to them. And we say, I want you to know I'm concerned. I do that many times as a counselor. Many times I'll point out things. But without love, remember what Paul said? Paul says, you can do all these things you want. You can speak in tongues. You can do this. You can do that. You can do that. But it's all just a big noise if love's not there. If there's no love, it don't matter. If you don't think anybody loves you, you're not going to listen to them very much or respect them very much if you don't think they care for you. But when you feel the love, they'll listen. When they know you love them and you care for them. See, it's not about how big we are. It's how big God is. It's not how much we've done. It's what Jesus already done. And it all goes back to the cross. It all goes back to the blood of Jesus being shed for the remission of sin. Our sin nature, church, was changed because of Calvary. We were born with a sentence of death. But through the blood, we now have a sentence of life. It's been completely reversed. The curse that held over us has been canceled out by what Jesus did, because that was the gift to humanity that changed everything. I no longer stand in the judgment of being lost and dying away from Christ forever because the blood draws me nigh. The Bible says I'm made nigh by the blood. I'm made near by the blood. It's brought me back. And if we would just point people to this gift, just the gift of Jesus, and then say, let the Lord take it from here. I'm here if you need me. I'm not going to tell you anything to do. I just want to tell you what Jesus did for you. And I want to tell you, you can have a brand new life forever. And just step back and let the Lord then begin to work and begin to move. I want, in this church, I want the Holy Spirit to change lives and change hearts of people. And I want it to be all God. I don't want it to be any showmanship. I don't want it to be anything. I want people to know it's God. There have been people through the years, and it's going to happen even more and more as we surrender really to the will of God in our lives. I believe this. But when the Lord moves, church, he can touch you right where you sit. You can come in sick and leave healed, never come in the front. The Spirit can just touch you where you're at. He can set you free. He can lift that burden. You can leave with the burden lifted off of you as the Holy Spirit's allowed to move throughout into you. And God does it, not man. And not showmanship. And not all this stuff that, the one thing I'm so careful about as a minister, I've always wanted to be. I said, Lord, I want everything that's done in this ministry always to be done according to you, how you want it, not me. God, I want you to move. I never want anybody saying it was this or it was a trick or it was fake or it was, you know, this or, you know, James knew this. Or God, I want you to move in a way that everybody knows it's you, period, just you. Because even though we're instruments that were used for God, it's still the power that is God that does all the healing, all the delivering, all the changing, all the saving. And so I'm very careful and cautious of that because I see how people have been deceived, how they have been hurt, how they've been misused. I've seen it. And I want the pure, authentic Spirit of truth to be in this ministry, to where it is God's Holy Spirit. It's not some kind of dog and pony show. It's God. It's really God. And when God touches you, you'll know it. When it's really God, you'll know it's the power of God that's touched you. It's not anything else. Maybe wonder why I'm saying that, and I've got a kind of reason for saying all that, but maybe some of y'all needed to hear that. Go to the next scripture. We all know John 3:16. This is the gift of Jesus. John 3:16. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he gave up his only begotten unique Son so that whoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, and relies on him shall not perish, come to destruction, be lost, but have eternal life. The gift of Jesus produced eternal life. We don't die, church. We in here never taste death. Jesus, the Bible says, tasted death for every man. Isn't that great news? He tasted death for every man. He experienced death for every man. He took the descendants of the whole billions of people and put it upon himself and declared them free through the blood. I have escaped the power and the penalty of death because of Jesus and that gift upon the earth. Hallelujah. Man, that's good preaching, y'all. That's good preaching. Preach it, brother. I hear you. Thank you, angel. I appreciate that. Hallelujah. I think we've lost our sensitivity, some of us, to this gift of Jesus. We've just become so routine and mundane with just being saved, not realizing the price that was truly paid for that, not realizing our future and our security of our future because of that, that no matter what we're battling and what we're facing, there is a Beulah land that all of us are going to walk into. A Beulah land. You know, we truly are homesick. That song is so true because as a Christian, there's always this like desire for something more than this. You know what it is? It's for our eternal state. That's what we're longing for. We know there's more than this. We have a desire to live and not die. We have a desire to be young and not old. We have a desire to be well and not sick. We have a desire to have strength and not weakness. We have a desire for those things because that's how we were created, and that's our destiny again for those of us that are in Jesus. Man, that's good news. He loved the world so much He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him will not be destroyed, but will have eternal life. Our life is short-lived on this earth. At best, it's short-lived. 100 years is short-lived. Look how fast our time. Chris was telling me the other day she can't believe where she's already at in life at 18. She goes, we went to a middle school other week, and she's walking through, and she goes, you know, I can't believe I'm already here. This is like yesterday I was in middle school. Just yesterday I was in these, you know, walking into school. And here she is. And the older we get, the faster time goes, and we realize what's happened. I mean, I can't believe I'm the age I'm at. I mean, I look good for my age, but I can't believe I'm at the age that I'm at. I'm like, man, alive. And I know my mom, I have to drive her crazy when she tells people she got a son that's, you know, blankety blank age. Probably don't even sound natural. Probably like Fonz on Happy Day trying to say, you know, that one word he could never say. What was it? I'm wrong. Yeah, I couldn't even say the word wrong. So I'm sure with mom, you got any kids? I got a kid. I got a son. Oh, really? Yeah. He's, you know, he's grown. That's probably what she said. He's grown, married, got 3 kids. It probably kills her to say he's blank, blank, because you know what that means? That means she's blank, blank. It's hard to believe that. I mean, I don't feel like I should be the age I'm at chronologically. I'm like, there it. I used to call me old when I was young. I was halfway home. I remember Melanie when her dad passed away at 42 years old of cancer. She, as a little girl, said everybody was talking about how young he was because Melanie was only 15. Everybody was talking about, man, your daddy was so young. And she says, yeah, I was thinking, well, he wasn't that young. He's 42. Is it young now, Melanie? Heck yeah. It's young now. Time just gets away from us. You know, and we're not going to always be able to maybe do the things in the natural we want to do now. You know, and so if you can still walk, praise God, walk. You can still run, praise God, run. You can jump hurdles, you better jump them while you can. Whatever you can do, praise God, do it. Because time runs out in the flesh. But the good news is, because of the gift of Jesus, it don't run out for us. We just simply translate into the next place. Because and only because of what Jesus did. He made a way. He acquitted us. We are found not guilty because the blood was shed for our lives. Though it doesn't seem right, though it doesn't seem justified, though it doesn't seem fair. And I love when other Christians get mad when other Christians act like they're saved or get saved. Are you kidding me? You should be happy they're saved. That the blood of Jesus found them. That they came to them. That they're not going to taste death. They're not going to be lost. They're not going to be tormented. But they've escaped from that death trap into life forevermore. We should be celebrate every time a soul comes to the Lord, knowing they have crossed from that sentence of death to a sentence of life in a moment. They have translated, as Paul says, I have now translated from death into life. Paul already knew as he preached. You know, I think why Paul just, he preached, he got stoned, and he got shipwrecked, and he got in prison over and over, and he got beat and run out of town and persecuted and talked about, but he kept on going. You know why? He knew where he was going. He had no fear of what was to come after. Remember, he wrote his last letter while in prison in 2 Timothy, and he wrote in there that my time is at hand. My departure is near. I have fought the fight. I've kept the faith. He knew he's about to go. But you know what? He was still writing to us in that prison, getting ready to get executed. He was still writing the words of God so that Joe Brown could read, I've kept the faith. My departure's at hand. I'm ready to receive my crown. How many times have we used that verse, especially in funerals, we've used that scripture. They kept the faith, departure's at hand. Now they're going to receive their crown. Paul knew what was waiting on him. Every time he got in prison was a glory for God. Every time he got whipped, a glory for God. Every time he got persecuted, thank you, Lord, for I am your child and you have a crown waiting on me. The gift of Jesus that came to Paul was amazing. As he walked down that road to Damascus and the light of Jesus, talking about the light of that life came to him and called from the sky, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he dropped to the ground and said, oh Lord, what would you have me do? Here I am, God. Here, I mean, you're talking about changing in a moment. He went from all kinds of bad language, and yes, they had it back then, all kinds of foul language, marching down the road, papers in his hands, arresting Christians, a Christian hater, a Jesus hater. He went from that moment, marching in anger, to being submitted to the Spirit of God because the gift of Jesus appeared to him in his darkest hour. And it changed him and the New Testament church and all of our lives forever because of that gift. Glory to God. That's a gift we have, church, and he's come to us. And he's called us by name. Never abuse that gift. Appreciate that gift. Honor that gift. Reverent that gift. That gift of Jesus that called you by name because it changed your future forever. Goes on in verse 17, John 3. Says this, "For God did not send the Son of the world in order to judge, to reject, to condemn, or to pass sentence on." That's not why Jesus came. If people teach that and preach that, it's wrong teaching. Jesus did not come to this earth to condemn it or to judge it or to pass sentence. Just the opposite. He came that the world might find salvation to be made safe and sound through him. As he came on earth, church, he never came to say, "I am here, the Messiah. I've come to judge you and to condemn you and to damn you to hell." He didn't come for that. He came to say, "Here I am. I've made a way of escape. I am the spotless Lamb of God. I am the sacrifice. I came that you might live. I'm the one you prophesied about and prayed about and waited on. Here I am. I am he that you spoke of. I am he that you prayed. I am he that was prophesied. I am the one that came to save you from your sins. I didn't come to judge you. I came to justify you. I came to set you free. I came to redeem you and to buy you back and to ransom you from the hand of the devil. That's what I came for. Glory to God. That's why he came." Now I know I'm being undignified on Sunday morning and preaching real hard, so just y'all bear with me and just make you feel uncomfortable, then just be uncomfortable. That's right, brother. Then look at verse 19. The basis, is that verse 19 up there, right? Yes. The basis of the judgment, the indictment, the test by which men are judged, the ground for this sentence lies in this, that the light has come into this world and people have loved the darkness rather than the light, for their works were evil. So where does judgment come in? Not because Jesus came, but because Jesus lives and he showed his light. And then once that light is shined and people reject that light, that's where judgment comes. I mean, think about this. You heard a joke. A guy's on top of his house, floodwaters are came. That's pretty relevant right now. A guy on top of his house, floodwaters come, and a little old tiny boat comes by. Little tiny boat. "Hey, Jack, jump in, I'll save you." He's on top of the housetop. "No, I'm praying. I'm praying for God to save me." "Okay." Brrr, he pulls off. Then a big old boat comes in. "Hey, Jack, come on in. I'm praying for God to save me." "You sure?" "I'm waiting on God to save me." "Okay." So then he pulls off. Then a helicopter comes, drops a ladder. "Hey, Jack, grab the ladder. I come to save you. I'm praying for God to save me." So the helicopter pulls off. But then he drowns and dies. Goes to heaven. He goes, "Says God, I prayed you saved me. I had faith. I stood on top of that house praying and telling everybody he's going to save me. Why didn't you save me?" He said, "Man, I sent you two boats and a helicopter. What more do you want?" I mean, when the light shines, church, we need to take it. I mean, sometimes we're so religious. "I'm waiting on the Lord." Well, he's not going to come back with nail-scarred hands and a white robe out of a tomb, more likely, and escort you to where you want to go. Listen to the Lord and follow his Spirit. That's what Melly wants all the time. She prays. She goes, "Man, James, I need a sign. I mean, I need God himself to shoot down and hear in his voice, 'Melanie, do this.'" And I'm saying God can't do that. But God gives all kinds of ways. Most of all, this Word of God's our way to lead us. It speaks to, you know, the great thing about this, we can read John 3:16. We can read it every week for a year, one time a week for a year. And each time we read it, God can give us fresh revelation on it, fresh knowledge based on what we're going through He can speak to us. This is what the Word of God is so beautiful. It speaks to us in different ways based on what we need. So the world's judged because the light did come, and man didn't want the light. I don't want the light. I don't want to go. And people don't want it. Like I tell you Wednesday night, y'all, a lot of you weren't here Wednesday night. The four that were here, I want to tell you this. Not every morning, four. Wednesday night, I was talking about, we was in Asheville. I mean, Asheville was in the pool. Talking to this man, and we're talking about, and I mentioned to him, I'm a pastor. It wasn't 5 minutes later, he's getting out and going, he's gone. I don't know if he's scared to go try to baptize him in the pool or talk to him or lay hands. I don't know. All I said was, God, see, I'm a pastor, and oh, got up, left. Okay, guess you don't like preachers. I don't know, but here's the deal. People reject the light, and they reject the truth. They want to do it their way and be left alone. And you know what? That is fine, because God is not forceful. And if people won't be left alone, that's fine. But there'll come a day that they'll reap the fruit of their own hand, as the Bible says. Every knee is going to bow anyway. I'd rather be bowed in the kingdom of God than bowed in hell. I'd much rather be bowed there, knowing I did it here, Lord. I'm with you. Because every knee is going to bow. Next scripture. Give me about 5 more minutes here. Now look at this. 1 John 5:11. This is the testimony, that evidence that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in where? His Son. Period. Eternal life is in no other way. Church, do not listen to a doctrine that says, oh, just find it your way. Mandy, you're young, and just find it your way. And there's many ways to get to heaven. Just do it your way. That's garbage. There's only life in the Son. If we can accept the Son, we can accept eternal life. And I don't understand. It's a pride issue with some people that they just can't accept. And here's why. Because we're so smart. Man is so smart. Come on, you really think, preacher, with all the thing in the world, all the people, all the cultures, all the languages, all the technology, all the different ways of thinking of man, that God would limit his salvation to one tiny avenue called Jesus? That's what the Bible says. I mean, that's what it says. I do believe that. Absolutely. And once again, God shows his light. I was watching someone on TV the other night about space. It was a Weather Channel, actually. It was talking about, I don't know if any of you have seen this, talking about the planet Neptune, 4 times bigger than Earth, and it was talking about how it has winds going around it at 9, let me think about this, make sure I get the number right, it was 9,000 or 900,000, 9,000, I think it was 9,000, not only 900,000, miles an hour that wind swirled around Neptune and it continually, been doing it for centuries and centuries, a continual. And there's ice crystals, and this wind just keeps on going. It's like 900,000 miles an hour. It talked about the same winds were on Earth that it would dissolve the Egyptian pyramids in about 3 years, completely dissolve them. And I'm sitting there looking at Neptune and this and the creation and all the stuff they're finding and all the space. And see, everyone that sees that is drawn to the truth that there's something bigger than them. Okay, so what's that something? Well, if you seek that something enough, I'm truly convinced God will show you the truth of who he is. It is me. There are people, you don't hear about this, there are people in Muslim countries right now, all across the Muslim countries, that are converting to Christianity by the thousands, and they're having to go into hiding to practice it. By the thousands. There's a church here in town that just went to London. They do this every year. They go to London. There's a lot of Muslims in London, England. And they go to London, and all they do, they don't preach, they don't evangelize. They stand on the corners and streets of London and just hand out Bibles. And I was talking to one that came back last year from this trip. I said, how'd it go? He said, it's really funny. You got extreme reactions. Some of them will just do this and walk away from us. Some of the Muslim people will come up and look around and ask for one and hide it and walk away with it. Hungry. Hungry for truth. Because doesn't nature teach us? I mean, nature teaches you, Stacy, as a woman, that you were not made to get beat and mistreated and downtrodden and like a slave. You can't do that. You can't do that. Nature is in a woman. I don't deserve this, do I? don't I have rights and freedom? And I shouldn't get beat by my man. I shouldn't be, you know, a castaway. I shouldn't have to keep all myself covered and hidden while he's exposed. Something don't feel right. See, nature, human nature teaches us, because we're endowed with that nature, to rise up and to be what God's called us to be. And so there's a hunger for people searching for truth. And when the light shines, we're then held accountable. We're held accountable, church, once the light shines. I remember Mom told me this little, I know a lot of you probably heard this story of, was it JFK wanting to speak to Billy Graham and asked to speak to him, and something about they couldn't, or is a, see, that's a place we don't want to. And what was he going to ask him? Was he going to ask him, you know, what is salvation? You know, is Jesus really the only way? We don't know what he's going to ask him. But he didn't get a chance to do it. Whenever light shines, whenever God speaks, don't wait till tomorrow. Don't push it to the next day. Don't say, well, I'm not in a mood today, or I just feel awkward, or, you know, I'm okay. We're so good about justifying we're okay, and we're not okay. Even with Christ, we have a lot of problems. We have a lot of battles. We're not always okay. Because you see a smiling face, that person can be in absolute misery. They're not always okay. So when the light shines, important we embrace that light while it's shining. You know, we hear statements all the time about live like there's no tomorrow. There's a song, live like there's no tomorrow. We should be living that way, shouldn't we? Like there's no tomorrow. What if we lived our lives like there was no tomorrow? What would you do today? If all of a sudden you got a sentence on your life that you had 3 days to live or a week to live, what would you do with the rest of that time if you could physically? What would you do with it? Because there is a tomorrow for all of us that's going to end here. And our new today will begin. But for those that are lost, their today will not be the same today as ours will. That's a very sad thing. One more place. I'm going to go through this quick. If you please bear with me, just 11:05. Bear with me because I want to get through this 1 through 5 Ephesians. I'll just read it up there. And you he made alive. He made you alive. Who were dead, slain. How were we dead? By our trespasses and our sins. In which at one time you walked habitually. You were following the course and the fashion of this world. You were under the sway of the tendency of this present age. Following the prince of the power of the air. You were obedient and under the control of the demon spirit that still constantly works in the sons of disobedience. The careless, the rebellious, the unbelieving, who go against the purpose of God. Among these, we as well, you once lived and conducted yourselves in the passions of our flesh, our behavior, governed by our corrupt and sensual nature. Now, this sounds bad, don't it? It gets good, though. Didn't know y'all so bad, did you, by the first? Look at it. Obeying the impulses of your flesh and the thoughts of your mind, our cravings dictated by our senses and our dark imaginings. We were then by nature children of God's wrath and heirs of his indignation like the rest of mankind. So here he's setting a prelude up, Paul is. You were bad, you were in sin, you were in darkness, you were in judgment. You were all those things. You deserved the death sentence. You were bad and lost. But God, so rich in his mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love which he loved us, even when we were dead by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he has made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ himself, the same new life with which he quickened him. It is by grace, his favor, his mercy, which you did not deserve, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation. Hallelujah, church. That one verse I could preach over 2 hours. But I won't. Unless you want me to. Okay, I won't. We were free from judgment because of grace. Next verse. For it is by free grace, God's unmerited favor, that you are saved, delivered from, and made partakers of Christ's salvation through faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves. It's not of your own doing. It came not through your own striving. It is the gift of God. Gift of God. That's my message. The gift of Jesus. It canceled out the judgment that was held against us. Church, if we are in Christ, we have passed from judgment into reconciliation. We no longer have the fear of weighing in the balance. Am I good? Am I going to make it? I'm in the balance. No, you are not in the balance anymore. You are saved by this grace of Jesus. Free from that judgment forevermore because of this gift. And it's not of your own doing, not of your own striving. It's a gift of God. The harder we try to work our way to salvation, the more frustrated we become because we realize that we can't do it. Church, we have stayed in so much condemnation and guilt. And really, once again, it goes back to almost a disrespect for God to think that we can do something in order to keep our salvation. It's almost like, really? No, you can't. If you could, I wouldn't have died on the cross for you. There'd be no need in that. I had to die to make a way. That's the only way you escape. As sweet as Beulah is a wonderful mother, still is. Wonderful grandmother and a wonderful great-grandmother, right? And a wonderful great-grandmother. She's sweet. She's loving. Loved her children. Still loves her children. I mean, just a wonderful woman. But apart from her accepting what Jesus did, she, in her fuzzy, lovable way, would be just as lost as the blaspheming, swearing adulterer. There is no difference. Thank you. There is no difference. Because Beulah's sweet, because she's loving. It's like I was talking to the guy who fixed the air a couple weeks ago. He goes, you know, I don't really know what I believe anymore. I was raised in church. I was saved when I was little, but I don't know if I believe anymore. Okay? He said, but you know, I do pretty good. And it's exactly what he said. I promise you. I'm sitting in the hall. He goes, but I hope I've done enough to get in. And I looked at him. I said, you can't do enough to get in. It's through Christ you get in. I mean, there's a lot of people thinking they're going to make it because they've been good. We see here, not by your own striving, not of your own doing. It's a gift of God. And when we accept the gift, when we appreciate the gift, we will appreciate and be more intimate with the Lord than ever before. It causes us not to sin, not to sin. It has the opposite effect when you know what God's given you. That grace that canceled out your death. It gives you something very special. Hallelujah. We're going to close out with just, I just want to give a time. Come up and sing that song. Do the old blood again. Just you is fine. And if anybody, before we close the service, you want to come pray at the altar, that you want to receive this gift of Jesus, you need this gift of Jesus in your life. You just need this gift. You don't have this gift of Jesus. You think you're saved because your daddy told you saved. It's like I said last week, some folks didn't like you, so I'm going to be honest again. Look, if you don't have a memorable born-again experience, something's not right. There should be a moment in time you remember when you received Jesus. Not because I've been going to church for, I've had people tell me that I've been going to church for 10, 15 years, and I don't have a moment, but God's changed me. God's great. Well, God does change you. Of course, He changes you through progression. Do all your mamas remember when your child was born, or do you say, I don't know. See, Olivia was born, somewhere between 91 and 95. I remember. I lost count after four. Whatever. No, you don't. You know when your child was born. The day you got married, you forget that? I got married by something else on us. Sometime back in the fall of 42. Something was October, November. I don't remember. Sometime. You remember when you got married? Some of y'all remember your first car. How many miles it had on it? What color it was? What the floor mats look like? You can't remember when you got born again? You remember your first lawnmower, your first hammer, your first hat, your first gun? You can't remember when you got born again? So there's got to be a moment. And if you've not had that moment, church, I want to encourage, if you've not really ever had that moment, you think you're okay, but you don't, you're hearing me and you're like, I don't remember Pastor ever having a moment where I really asked Jesus to be the Lord of my life. You need that moment. You need that moment to ask him to come into your life. The Bible says, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart and you shall be saved, Romans. So I want to ask you, if you need the gift of Jesus in your life, or you just want to pray about anything else, just during this song, as Melanie sings this beautiful song, I want to open up the altar for you to come pray before we close service and give you a chance to respond to the message today of this precious gift of Jesus. I want you, Jesus. I need you. And I'm asking you today to come into my heart, come into my life, come into my circumstances, change, forgive, heal, whatever is broken today. Just give you a chance for some prayer as she sings this song. Remember what I said last week, church? Don't be afraid of the altar. Man, the altar, we all need the altar. I mean, we need the altar. We all need the altar. The altar is not a big sign. Joe Brown's been bad. He's at the altar. And then Don's whispering, what's Joe done, Beulah? Why don't you talk to him and see what he's done? Ask him. Just go ask him, are you okay, Joe? Need to talk about it and see if he spills the beans and come tell me. Now, y'all were laughing at that, but we seem to think it's some kind of spotlight of sinner, 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 fornicator, drug addict, wife beater, alcoholic, blasphemer, streaker, whatever. We just had this big thing that just, oh my God, they're at the altar. Oh, they're unholy. Oh God, I thought Joe was saved. Why is he at the altar? Has he been lost all this time? Working in the church, being a deacon and lost. I'm going to talk to the pastor about that. That's exactly right. This altar, thank you for saying a little more undiplomatic. This altar is for you, for any needs you have, for strength, for prayer, just whatever. God knows what you need. So she sings this song, don't be afraid to approach the altar. I want to get the church in the habit of knowing it's okay. Church, I'm not going to embarrass you. Y'all been with me a long time. I've never embarrassed anybody. You know, if anything's done by me, it's going to be led by the Holy Spirit, I promise you. I'm not going to throw you up, and I'm not going to throw you across the seats, and I'm not, believe me, just don't be afraid to approach the altar and pray. There have been times I come and knelt with you, maybe laid my hand on your head and prayed with you, but I'm not going to do anything to embarrass anybody, and nobody else is either. And I want to encourage this, too, before we do this. If you see someone at the altar and you feel led to come pray with them, that would be good. You know, y'all, if you see somebody up here, come up here with them. Just kneel beside them. Pray with them. Because a lot of times they need that. Especially if they feel like they're alone or they feel, you know. Come pray with them. And let's be a family that shares that with people and pray and strengthen and love each other. So if you need to get to Jesus, prayer, just want a little prayer time before we close this service of anything. The altar is open. Do what? Okay, that's great.
Find security, resisting all the changes the days and years may bring. When God decides to lead you through an open door, inviting you to walk in realms you never known before. Beyond the open door is a new and fresh anointing. Hear the Spirit calling you to go. Walk on through the door, for the Lord will go before you into a greater power you never known before. Hear the Spirit. the living dead, to reach the huddled masses who cry out for living bread. Arise, almighty army, take up thy shield and sword, for the Father lifts his golden lamp beside the open door. Beyond the open door is a new and fresh anointing. Hear the Spirit calling you to go. Walk on through the door, for the Lord
I was sitting there, and just all of a sudden, just boom, I felt it hit me of his sweet, sweet grace and his sweet presence. Go ahead and play it again. Doc, come up here. We want to pray for you on that. He's got a physical issue. Rodney, come up here with me. Where's it hurting at, Doc? Exactly. Right in the lower.
Things familiar, we find security.
Healing in the name of Jesus. Let this pain be lifted. And physical healing by your hand in Jesus' name. Thank you. Strengthen him, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
In the things familiar, you find security. Resisting all the changes.
Thank you, Jesus, that open door
the
he wants us to come through.
It's
a fresh new anointing, a fresh new power, a fresh new strength.
When God decides
Thank
to
you,
lead you through an open door,
Lord.
Inviting you to walk
Thank
in realms you never known before.
Thank you, Jesus.
Beyond the open door is a new and fresh anointing.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hear the Spirit calling you to go. Walk on through the door, for the Lord will go before you into a greater power you never know. the living dead, to reach the huddled masses who cry out for living bread. Arise, almighty army, take up thy shield and sword, for the Father lifts his golden lamp beside the open door. Beyond the open door is a new and fresh anointing. Hear the Spirit calling you to go. Walk on through the door, for the Lord will go before you.
Church today, been in the presence of the Lord. Well, I have. It's awesome. Thank you for your presence, Lord, for visiting us. Thank you for the lives and hearts you changed today, Lord. Thank you for that. We give you praise and honor for that. I want the church to remember Aunt Zale. She's in the hospital. She's went in there yesterday at Iredale. I think she's in 232, 234, somewhere in there. But Zale Hutchins, if you would like to go by and see her, had some mini strokes. Went by and saw her yesterday. She looked wonderful. She was hopped up in bed, just being her sassy self and talking, and looked wonderful. So hopefully they'll get her out in a few days, but keep her in your prayers. And she's at Iredale. She'll be there probably for a few days. And also Irene Meesey Moore's daughter, Shelby. A lot of you remember Irene used to come to church. She's buried in our cemetery. Her daughter, Shelby, had surgery Friday, had a brain tumor the size of a fist on her brain. It was benign, which is wonderful. They got it removed, and the only damage they see is going to happen is she won't have hearing back in that one ear it was pressed against, but no other damage done. So that is a wonderful testimony. It was a 3-hour surgery. She's at Charlotte Medical Center, and her daughter, Casey, called me and told me about it. So keep Shelby in your prayers as well. But God took care of that. God truly did take care of that situation. So, Grandma, did you go say something? Yeah. Yes, amen, I am. Yeah. Right. I haven't felt led to do that. I've seen that knee too, that that they need a chance to respond, really respond to the message and have time with God before we leave the service. And if it makes it longer, it makes it longer. I know some may leave, and that's fine. If you have to leave, I understand that. You know, whatever you got to, but we're going to do that and have more chance to do that and let the Lord have his way here, because this is where the healing happens when we give ourselves to the Lord. So thank you for sharing that, Grandma. It's encouraging. And it is, the Spirit of the Lord has been so strong here this morning. It's been so strong. I'm thankful for that. Ushers, come on up. We'll give you a chance to give of your offering this morning to the Lord. And we're excited to see Mr. Williams back with us. Mr. Williams, raise your hand. Yeah, he's back with us. Give him a good big hand. It's Charles' granddad. He has been out for a while, physically uncommissioned as well, and doing better. Got a goatee. Trying to get a different look there. So and keep Darlene still in your prayers. She had back surgery, about 3 or 4 weeks ago now? So how's she doing, brother? Is she doing better? Good. She's back to nagging you and stuff real good? So, but keep her in your prayer too. She gets back with us and gets her back better and everything. Let's pray over our offering. Lord, we thank you for this chance to give unto you. We know it's an honor to sow seed into your work, into this ground. And we know this seed here is going to proclaim the gospel and to preach your grace. And we thank you for that. Pray that you use the seed for your glory, and that every hand that sows is blessed, and they see the result and the fruit of their sowing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.